Morning. Good to be back with you this morning. Good to see everyone here. As I mentioned before, I want to mention again how grateful we are for our visitors and our audience. We're very thankful that you're here with us. We're happy to open up the scriptures with you this morning and to study therein that we may grow and learn and be more pleasing to our Heavenly Father. And we're going to be in Colossians this morning. We have been studying through Colossians in our Sunday morning services. And we're about into Colossians chapter 3. If you want to turn with me over there to Colossians, the third chapter. Now, here in the third chapter, it is connected to the spiritual truths that were taught prior in the book, chapter 2 especially, that dealt with the idea of the circumcision of Christ, that is being, as he explained, our baptism, being buried with him in baptism, chapter 2, verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. He explains in verse 13 that you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And these are some of the things that we had talked about last week. Is that in our baptism, we are put to death. God, in the working of God, he says, through our faith, through our trust in him, that he will forgive us of our sins when we are baptized. Not only in his working does he put to death the things that we have had once did, having forgiven us of our trespasses, but we as well put to death that old way and that old life, or as Paul's going to use the term later in chapter 3, that old man, okay? That old person, that person who lived for self, that person who lived for, you know, whatever it is, you know, just fill in the blank, whatever we once did, we're no longer that person anymore. We come out of of baptism, he says, you're raised up together with him. So we see that in verse 13 of chapter 2, middle verse 13, he says, he has made alive together with him. So when we come to chapter 3, we see the connection there in verse 1. Colossians 3 and verse 1, he says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. So this is all in connection here to what he had dealt with in chapter 2. So chapter 2, he laid forth really the doctrine. Okay, the teachings of it. And here now in chapter 3, we have the application. So here's what we have learned, and now let's apply what we have learned. And that's what chapter 3 and chapter 4 is going to be about. So this last part of the book of Colossians is going to be dealing with the Christian's general and practical application of the things that have been taught prior here in the book in chapter 1 and chapter 2. So he taught the Christians about their resurrection in Christ, about their resurrection from that old man. And now they are sinless. Now they are forgiven. Now they are holy. They have been raised up with Christ. Verse 1, he says that there in chapter 3. You've been raised with Christ. Back in chapter 2, verse 13, the idea of God has made you alive with Christ. So you're with Christ now. You're alive with him. You've been raised up with him. So the point here in the application is, if this is true, if this is what has happened in your life, if then you were raised with Christ, we have things that we must do in our life. The first thing he says is that we need to seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Seek those things above. Now, so no one got the wrong idea when they were reading Colossians 3:1. this idea of seek those things above, what's the location is he referring to? You know, the sky, the planets, the galaxies, what is he dealing with? Well, he says where Christ is sitting. So seek the things above. Where above? Where Christ is sitting. Where he is at the right hand of God. That's what we are to seek. That's what we are to be aiming towards. Our minds are to be set on that. In fact, that's what the very next thing he says there in verse 2. When he says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. So one who has been raised with Christ is going to be doing two things throughout the rest of their life. These two things he has laid for us here in verse 1 and verse 2. The first is that we are seeking. We're not seeking things on this earth. That's not our search. That's not what we're driving after. That's not what we're going after. We're seeking where Christ is sitting. Our aim, our focus in mind, when we wake up in the morning, what is on our mind? Where Christ is. Why? Because we've been raised up with Him. He says, you're alive with Him. And He's going to further expound on that picture of being with Him. So if we are with Him, then our mind shouldn't be elsewhere. Our mind should be with Him. If we're raised with Him, if we're alive with Him, then our new body, as the new man is with Him, that's exactly where our mind ought to be, is with Him. So this new man that is being described coming out of baptism, this new man is alive with Christ, with Christ. And so therefore that mind needs to be seeking things that are where Christ is. So everything about our life is about being with Christ. Now we can't be with Him in the physical sense of our location and having still a body of flesh. We cannot be there. We cannot be where He is in those places. We cannot be around the throne. But our mind can. Our mind can be set on it. We can seek it. So the two things that he has addressed here is that we need to be seeking the things which are above. Because that's where our life belongs now. It belongs with Christ. And that's where he is. So we seek the things above. And the second thing he says is to set your mind on things above. So you seek for it, you drive for it, and you set your mind on those things. So it's kind of the idea of you know, once you've sought and sought and you found something and you found your great desire, and then you're going to hold on to it. You're going to have a firm grip on whatever that is. So in this case, it would be Christ, the things that are above. The things that are above. What's, you know, what is above? Well, Christ, for one. Everything that is good. You know, everything that is of God, the truth, all of it. That's where it resides, where Christ is. That's where we want to be. So we seek those things. We set our mind on those things. Because our body's not there. We can't be there yet. But we can sure set our mind on it. He continues there in verse 3. And he explains why we would live our life in such a capacity as that. In verse 3, he says, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Why would we live this way? Because you died. This means that when we become a Christian, a lot changes. And we shouldn't get the idea that when we become a Christian, you know, nothing too much really changes. We might just, you know, maybe a little bit as far as our schedule goes, you know, because we'll start going to church or something like that. But what we find in the Word of God is something vastly different than that kind of mindset. What we find here is he says, you died. What you once were is dead. And that's a good thing, because who we once were We were in a body of death. All right, we were people that were doomed. We were destined to condemnation. That's been put to death by the working of God. And so now that that is gone, that life is gone, our life is different. And so our lifestyle, everything that is going that is about us, you know, the decisions that we will make are all going to be dependent upon what? Upon seeking Christ and setting our mind on things above. The decisions that we make in this life, big decisions, small decisions, daily decisions, they are all going to pivot on this one center, setting our mind on the things of Christ, seeking the things of Christ. Every action, every activity, everything that's going to enter into our thoughts, everything that is going to come out of our mouths, you know, what we say, how we say things, how we behave, all of it is set on Christ. He's about to go through this here later on in the chapter. We're not going to get to that yet. We'll get to that another time, Lord willing. But he'll talk about wives. He'll talk about husbands. He'll talk about children. He'll talk about, you know, employees, employers, and these kinds of things. These daily aspects of our life. And how we can use those relationships to serve Christ. How we can use the things of our daily life to be seeking Christ and having our mind set on the things above. So, he says, you've died. It's over. You know, that life that we once lived for ourselves, for selfishness, for sin, whatever the case may be, it's over. It was put to death. It was put to death by Christ. It was put to death by ourselves in our own decision to repent of our sins. You died, he says. And then he goes further and says, and your life, so your life now is hidden with Christ in God. So the first point that he makes is you died. The second part is he describes our life now. And our life, he says, is hidden with Christ. Now that's a beautiful statement. It's beautiful. The idea of our lives being hidden with Christ. But what does it mean? What does it mean here in the context? What is this? Well, the idea of hidden there, if you look up, like in the original Greek, you know, if you look up in the Greek lexicons, this word hidden refers to, you know, something that is, you know, unseen, which, you know, that's proper with the English word there. Unseen is something that is hidden, obviously. So, your life is hidden with Christ. Your life is unseen. You know, your life, you know, he said, seek those things which are above. He says, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. He says, because that's where your life is. Because you've died. You've died to the world. You died to the ways of the world. You died to sin. So what is your life now? Your life is with the unseen. Your life is with the things that are hidden. Your life is about the things that are not of this world. Your life is hidden with Christ. Now that's striking. That's something that we need to give a lot of thought to as Christians. To come to that realization that our life now is all about the things that can't be seen on this earth. Our life is where Christ is. He can't be seen. He's hidden from this globe. Everything about him, it's at the right hand of God. I can't travel to some region, to some location here on this planet. I can't find him on the map. I can't come to his throne here on this earth and bow before it. It's not an earthly one. It's unseen. It's hidden. He describes our life that way as well. Since you have been raised with Him, being put to death and buried in baptism, our past life, raised with Him sinless and forgiven of our sins, raised with Him. We're with Him now. He says in the previous chapter, you're alive with Him. So we are with Him. Now He is hidden, so our life is as well. Now this is, as I said, striking. This causes us to think about a lot of aspects of our life, because we might not be viewing our life as hidden, as unseen, that is, as of driving for the things that are hidden, driving for the things that are not visible and of this world, that our lives are always looking far beyond the horizon. Everyone around us is focused on what's right before their eyes. You know, their work, you know, their careers, their, you know, all sorts of different things. Their minds are fixated on the things that they can see, when our mind is to be fixed on the things that we can't see. Our life is with a Christ that we have not seen. We haven't seen Him yet. Now, we're talking about all these things, but I'd like to pause for just a moment and ask all of us the question. If we're a Christian already, if the things that we've discussed so far this morning, do they fit the description of our life? Are we the fitting description of one who is seeking the things above, who is setting our mind on the things above, who we really can't describe our life as one that is worldly? Our life is not here. Our life is not about here on this globe. Is that the description of our life? Is our life truly with Christ? Just hidden with Christ? Our life is all about the unseen, the things we've yet to see. Is that what our life is? Does that describe our life? I think that's a very hard-hitting question for us all, that we need to give some due diligence in examination. He goes further, and in verse 4 he says, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Now, here he is pulling from everything he has already said, and he's kind of putting it together in a package here. He talks about Christ as our life. Now, that's simply just another way of putting it, another way of putting exactly everything that he has said before. Because think about it. Who is the description here? What kind of person is the description of this here in verse 4? Christ is our life. Well, Christ is our life if we have followed the practical application here of verses 1 and 2. That we have sought after the things above. That we have set our mind on the things above. That we are truly living on this earth for Christ. That our existence is about Christ. Now this is the true definition of a Christian. And we don't often see that in the world that we live in today. Today it has been watered down far too much in so many circles. And this concept of just, you know, attending a church, you know, whichever one you like, just pick a church and attend, maybe try to be a good person, you know. And there are all different kinds of extremes all the way around. But we get the idea. We've all been in this world long enough to see the various and sundry ideas that are out there about Christianity and about religion. So many things just don't fit what we find in the biblical record and what is required out of us to be a Christian today. It's for Christ to be our life. He's whom we seek every day. He's whom we have our minds fixed upon. Our minds are not on ourselves. Our minds are not on, you know, what we're doing, you know, or what our goals are. What are Christ's goals? What would Christ have me to do in my life? He says, for individuals who have accomplished such a thing for their life, he says, when Christ, our life, appears, he says, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Now, that right there is a logical conclusion to the text. If we have been raised up with Him, that He dealt with there in chapter 2, if we're now alive together with Him, if our lives are now with Him, if our life is all about the things hidden from this globe, the unseen things, then when He appears, then so would we, right? That would make sense. If our life is with Him and He is hidden, He is unseen, once He does appear, then we'd appear as well with Him. That makes sense. That's the point that he's making. When Christ appears. Now, notice this word appears. Now, okay, so that is opposed to the previous verse that spoke of his life as a hidden one. Okay? It's not been seen yet. We haven't seen him. But once he appears, then he says, you also will appear with him. So our lives first must be hidden with Him in order for us to appear with Him. That makes perfect sense. But often people, I guess, they want to try to have the best of both worlds. They want to appear here. They want to appear on this earth. They want to be something on this earth. They are driving and striving and setting their mind here. Because they want to appear here. And it's evident in their lives that they don't want to appear with Christ once He does appear. But those who have hidden their lives with Him, who live for the future appearance, who live to appear later, okay? They will appear with Him in glory. These folks who live a life of humility, they've humbled themselves, they sing praise to their Lord, they live continually in prayer, they pray without ceasing, as the Scriptures teach. You know, it's their lifestyle. They are constant with Christ. Every decision that they will make, maybe as a spouse, maybe as a father or mother, maybe as a child, as an employee or as an employer or whatever it might be on this earth, they seek the way of Christ. They seek His instruction. They seek to live for Him. They want to keep their lives in meekness and humility and kindness and just a peaceable, peaceful individual. Hidden with Christ. These are the folks that will appear one day with Him and appear in glory. I think a very good parallel text to what we're reading here in Colossians 3 is Philippians 3 and verse 20, where Paul said to the church in Philippi, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. Our citizenship is in heaven. First thing that he points out there. That's our home. That's our citizenship. That's what we're seeking for. That's what we put our hope in. He says, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior. We wait for His appearance so that we can appear with Him. So our lives are eagerly waiting for Him. We have set our mind on Him. We are seeking Him. And he says, once He appears, this Christ will transform our lowly body that may be conformed to His glorious one. And again, we're dealing with situations of pure logic here in these scriptures. If Christ has been raised to glory, we are raised with Him in baptism, according to Colossians chapter 2. We're raised with Him. He's been raised to glory. We're raised with Him. Sure, right now we have a lowly body. It's frail. It's physical. It's temporary. It doesn't last long. It's a lowly body. But one day, when He appears, we'll have a body fitting for the kind of mind that we have. So our mind is set on the hidden things, the unseen things. It's not set on the physical. If our mind is set on the glorious, one day we'll have a body fitting of that. If our mind is about Christ, if Christ is our life, then one day we'll have a body fitting of that. And that's what we see here in the text. Those who eagerly wait for the Savior, they've placed their citizenship already in heaven. Now, that's hidden from them. It's unseen. But their life is for the unseen. Their citizenship is in heaven. They're waiting for the Savior. And then once He appears, so will they. So, Philippians 3 certainly gives a great parallel there to what we're seeing in Colossians chapter 3. We'll appear with Him in glory. So, what is more for the practical application here? Well, notice there in verse 5, he says, therefore. All right, so here's kind of a conclusion, or he's going to give an application. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. The kinds of people that live where Christ is all and in all, these are the individuals that he's describing in the text, who will appear with Christ in glory. These are the individuals that have put to death, he says, the members, your members that are on the earth. They still might have members. Some of these brethren there in Colossae, some of the brethren here in Jacksonville, still might have members, still might have portions and parts of us that are set on this earth, that are set on this world, got to be put to death. He says, therefore, put to death. They've done some of it, but they haven't accomplished all of it. And I think that's an interesting thing to consider about this. As we're reading this epistle, to realize that who Paul is writing to, they're members of the local church, the local body of Christ there in Colossae, but there are still things that they haven't put away. Now, that shouldn't give us any comfort if we're in the same boat, but at least to understand that it is true that when we come out of our conversion with Christ, that there will still be things within our bodies that we'll come to realize within our life that we need to get rid of, we need to put away. And that's what he is calling them to do. He just described the perfect life, and now he gives the application. This is how to have it. This is how to have the kind of life we've just discussed. Put to death the members which are on the earth so that you can be alive with Christ. Because if we're still set on this earth, we're not with Christ. And if we're not with Christ, then we're not alive with Him. Then our lives are not hidden away with Him for a coming and final appearance in glory. So put to death whatever is left in our life. It needs to be taken away. It needs to be slain. He gives a list here of several things. You know, sexual immorality, various means of uncleanness, ungodliness that would be in our life, passions and evil desires, and just covetousness. He talks about various attitudes and attributes in verse 8, like anger and malice and blasphemy and even filthy language that could come out of the mouth. Now, of course, this is just really more of a smaller list of things. It's not too detailed. But it gives us an idea of what we need to strive for and the things that we need to make correction in our life. It may be that for many of us today, there are things that we know all too well are in our life that just should not be there. We need to put those things to rest today. We need to seek that life with Christ. We need to set ourselves up in a life with Christ, to be alive with Him, raised with Him, to live with Him, having our life hidden, unseen. We're focused on the unseen. We're set on the unseen so that once He appears and we can finally see Him, we'll see ourselves with Him as well in glory. If there's anyone here who needs the help of prayers of the congregation, we certainly invite you to come and let us know. But if there is anyone here who is yet to come to become alive with Christ, to come in repentance of their sins, confessing in Him as their Savior, to be baptized, like Colossians 2 talks about, to be baptized, to be buried with Him in baptism, so that that old man can be put away, and that in the working of God our sins can be forgiven, to be raised up with Him, forgiven. If that describes your need this morning, then won't you please come forward and let us know while together we stand and sing.